It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, in for Ben Kiefer. Some of us started worrying about COVID-19 back in January when we were learning about what was happening in China. As the virus has traveled around the world and here to Iowa, most of us are concerned. For some, that concern is overwhelming. The fear, anxiety, loneliness through social distancing. This can be particularly difficult for those who already have mental health challenges, and it can also spark new mental health challenges. This hour, we'll explore the stressors we're encountering with mental health experts. We'll talk about coping strategies, how to help others through these trying times. We'll also talk about how you know when it's time to get professional help and how to ask for help during a crisis like this one. We also want to hear from you this hour. Tell us about your experience. The mental health challenges you've encountered since the beginning of the crisis, the tools you use to cope. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. My first guest today is Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa. Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Charity.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today. And this can be such a difficult thing for people who are already dealing with mental health struggles to deal with new worries. And there are so many worries to encounter with this worldwide pandemic. What are some of the most common psychological reactions to a crisis like this?
You know, what we find is... Sometimes it's fear about one's own health status, but often it's a fear for someone, a loved one. So it could be an older relative. It could be a child who's immunocompromised. It could be a lot of different reasons for someone. You tend to worry more about people close to you than about yourself. Plus, it feels more out of your control, you know, what might happen to them. So that's a big fear. I think what's driving a lot of this fear is the unknown. It's there's still so much we don't know about this virus. We don't know completely exactly how it spread, how long it can stay alive, how have most people contracted it. What are the, other than washing your hands and maintaining that six-foot distance, you know, what are the most practical ways? And then there's also the fear of, like, if we knew for sure this would all be over in two more weeks and we could all go back to pretty much normal, then people could cope with that and shoot for that. But it's the unknown. It's not knowing really how it's going to play out. Now, is really difficult for people.
Yeah, and for anyone paying attention, I mean, we're all dealing with these fears. When do we begin to understand if something is more than reasonable fear?
Well, I always preface anything I say by reminding people I am not a clinician. I am I'm an advocate. And a family member of some people who live with serious mental illness. But generally, you know, what we say is when it starts to overtake your life and it starts to affect, now we're all being affected in terms of, you know, being told to stay at home and maintain a certain amount of isolation and social distancing. So that is by definition affecting how we live our lives. But I would say in this case, if it's starting to overtake your ability to function and do everyday things like cooking, cleaning, eating, sleeping, interacting with others, and it's keeping you from sleeping, it's invading all your thoughts and really taking over your life, it is definitely time to seek help.
Is this a time when we need to be particularly concerned if we've had mental health struggles in the past or if we have loved ones who have had mental health struggles? Do we need to pay close attention to those people? Because this feels like a really triggering time.
Yes, it absolutely is. We know, for example, that even when a celebrity takes their own life, that is triggering for people. It often results in more people, unfortunately, taking their own lives, because it's like, well, if that person who's rich and famous can't handle what's going on in their life, then, you know, what hope do I have? So we know that is true. So this absolutely can exacerbate depression and anxiety, which are the two main things that people face in terms of mental health challenges. And we do have to look out for each other. And if we have people who we know have been prone to those things and have struggled with those in the past, just checking on them, not like, how are you doing? But not making it worse by kind of harping on them, but just, you know, staying in touch and finding ways to connect. Like, a lot of people I know are doing things like, we had a family Zoom birthday party last night, for example. And everybody was on, including the dogs. And it was just so great to see and hear everyone. And one of my daughters, who really struggles with anxiety, said that that was just so helpful to her. I know people who are playing games virtually, who are, you know, working puzzles together, who are having regular you know, connections by Zoom or whatever means, that we have to find ways to connect and to find things that uplift us and give us hope.
I'm talking with Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa. We're talking about mental health challenges in a period of crisis in our world, not just in our nation or our state, but all over the world right now. I want to bring a couple of other people into this conversation. Don Damstig is psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Don.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And are you experiencing an uptick in calls for support and needs for support with people in your practice?
I don't know that we have an uptick, partly because we're not seeing as many people. You know, people are canceling and we're seeing people only by telehealth. And therefore, you know, we're not seeing as many as we were before. I think everybody is feeling nervous. And probably some people should be calling in and talking that aren't. But I can't say that we've seen an uptick necessarily.
When you think about mental health during this time, as I mentioned before, there are so many things that we're all worried about, reasonable fears at a time like this with so much that's unknown. What are your greatest concerns about mental health?
Well, my greatest concerns would be that people would just become overwhelmed, that they would you know, have a nervous breakdown, that they would not be able to cope with the various stressors. Everybody, you know, can reach a breaking point if they're pushed hard enough. And so that would be my concern, is that, you know, people who don't have very good support systems and don't have very good coping strategies might just become overwhelmed and possibly even commit suicide or begin to you know, not be able to cope with their daily life very well.
Well, and I do want to mention, I'll mention this throughout the hour, that there are places, if you are in a time of crisis, there are places you can call for help. The Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. You could also call the NAMI Iowa Helpline, 1-800-273-8255. That's the same number, isn't it? I believe that is the same.
Well, I just wanted to say, Charity, yeah, that we have a helpline. It's not a crisis line, but it is resource and referral, and we have trained peer support specialists who can talk through things and with anyone and talk through how to get some further assistance if they need it. And I wanted to make sure that you all had that number. It's 515-254-0417. And that number is answered 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday.
Okay, 515-254-0417. And of course, you are welcome to join this conversation right now to share your concerns, your questions, 866-780-9100. And I want to bring Lindsay Irvine into the conversation as well, Director of Senior Life Solutions of Regional Health Services of Howard County. It's in Cresco. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And
thank you.
This is a time that I think, you know, it's scary for everyone, but we do know that COVID-19 is a more serious virus for the elders in our society. What are your greatest concerns right now?
I think just between myself, so I'm the director of Senior Life Solutions, and I have two therapists that work with me as well. I think we're calling our patients every day that we have in our program to check up on them. And I think our biggest fear is them not wanting to ask for help or asking people that they rely on for help, people that they can call just to talk to or people they can call to get them groceries or even to have access to food or medications or those type of essential things. We're encouraging them every day to, you know, call these people, stay in touch with loved ones, have a list of people that they can call every day that might be good resources for them. And I think, too, that we're kind of encouraging them to watch the news, stay up to date, yet not be too overwhelmed with the news and limit the time that they are watching it. Because I think if that's all you're doing all day is watching the news and seeing all the bad stuff that is going on in the world right now, it can be overwhelming as well.
The knowing that you are in a group that is the most vulnerable at this time, I can imagine that the fears are amplified because of that, Lindsay. But yet people do want to be independent. They don't want to ask for help. So is there a coping mechanism that you can recommend for people who are older and are nervous, but maybe they're also justifying going out because they say, well, I'm a healthy 73-year-old.
Sure. Yep. So we kind of, in Senior Life Solutions, we teach them ways to cope and different skills. So things such as like distractors, relaxation techniques, deep breathing, self-soothers, anything that would be calming to them as well, such as like doing puzzles, music, playing solitaire online, or just some of them, even if they go on Facebook or whatever they're doing online to look up different things, calling a friend, different things like that, that can help to relieve some of the anxiety or stress that they are feeling, or to obviously distract them from what's going on in the world for a little period of time if they're becoming too overwhelmed with it.
Well, and we'll talk more about some other coping techniques. I do want to get to the phones. You are welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Sharon is on the line in Grimes. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi there. Tell me what you're experiencing right now.
Well, I'm very concerned about a relative that just was in the hospital for a mental disorder for about 41 days. They released her. She no longer has any in-home health care available or any nurse care. And I'm quite concerned about her. She's not doing really well. Are there any resources that are available? Everyone says they're not taking new patients.
Right, right. And we've seen a lot of people not pursue in-person treatment, a lot of hospitals turning people away right now because of that. Peggy, do you have some advice for Sharon? This sounds like a very scary situation.
Right. Well, I would really encourage you to give us a call and we can see what we can do to provide assistance. Getting in-home services right now is very difficult, as you can imagine, because there's a huge reluctance for a lot of providers to, but it is happening. So there are resources available. So please give us a call and we'll see how we can help.
All right.
I would want to throw in, too, that counselors are still seeing clients. It's generally over the Internet, but, you know, we are at this office, we are still seeing new clients, but it has to be by the Internet. So it's not hopeless. You know, keep calling around to find a provider that will be willing to talk with your friend online or, you know, on the phone.
Sharon, thank you so much for your call. Oh,
Is Lindsay from Senior Life Solutions. I was just going to add in there, too. So we have 24 programs in Iowa. We're currently located at Regional Health Services of Howard County in Cresco. But we do have 24 programs in Iowa. So I would be willing to help her as well to find a program that might be close. And our program is typically covered at 100% for Medicare patients with Medicare and a secondary insurance typically. Before we would admit anybody to the program, we always make sure it's no cost to them. But right now, I mean, our programs are on suspension because of the coronavirus, but we are still calling patients every single day to make sure, like, they have their correct medications, they're feeling okay, their mood is good, they have enough food to eat, all that type of stuff. So if you wanted, I could find out information on that as well. And I'll just throw up our number is 563-547-6650, because I would be able to find probably a program close to Grimes. I'm really not sure off the top of my head the closest one, but I could reach out to my regional director as well, and she could help me with that if that's something she's interested in as well.
And Sharon, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How old is this loved one that you're concerned about?
My sister is 64, almost 65, and she is currently disabled. You know, she's on disability, but I'm very concerned. She can't move around a lot. She has COPD. She's not doing well after being discharged from the hospital.
My brother and I are
taking turns, but I'm trying to reach out wherever I can, because every in-home care facility, even the one she had prior to this, said, you know, now she's considered a new patient since her hospital stay was over 30 days and we can't see her. So it's just a really bad situation for her.
Absolutely. And were you able to write down Lindsay's number? Would you like me to repeat that for you?
No, I do have all those numbers, and I thank you all very much.
Yeah, thank you.
One more thing. This is Lindsay again from Senior Life Solutions. One of the great things about our program is every patient in the program is seeing a psychiatrist once a month, which is kind of unheard of in the psychiatry world, because to get in to see a psychiatrist is usually out quite a few months. So that is one of the nice parts, is they are seeing a doctor or a psychiatrist, or we have a nurse practitioner that comes as well. So one of them are available every month that the patient would see if she was admitted to the Senior Life Solutions program, just so you know that.
Okay, great. Yeah, she does need weekly blood draws due to a new medication that she's on. So now I have to take her out, which I feel is unsafe for both of us. So, yeah, it's kind of a critical thing, and I've just reached a lot of stop signs, you know, along the way. So, but I'll do the best I can for her. Thank you all.
Yeah. Sharon, thank you so much for your call, and stay safe. I hope things work out well for you. Don, let me ask you, do you feel like people don't realize that they can call organizations for help right now? I mean, now suddenly everything is closed. Do you think that people don't know that they can get help through telemedicine?
Well, yeah, it's possible. That's a pretty new thing. We've just started doing it this spring, and really mostly in response to this crisis. And a lot of other providers, I think, are in the same boat. They have not used telemedicine very much, but it is a very effective way to interact with people. It's face-to-face. You see people on the camera and talk with them directly. It's probably something that could be used widely.
Well, and Lindsay, I'm sure that there are people thinking, well, maybe I need to talk to somebody, but I'm a little scared of the technology. I don't know if I could actually manage that in my own home. You mentioned just calling people to check in with them. For people of a certain age, that might be the best approach.
Sure, yeah. A phone call is fine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Let's go back.
Charity, this is Peggy. I just wanted to offer, too, that outside of the medical model of, you know, clinicians helping and checking in with people, NAMI offers peer support. So we have people who with lived experience, whether they're family members or people who live with serious mental illness, who teach all our classes and lead our support groups. And we have 13 local affiliates, and a lot of them are continuing to offer their support groups via Zoom. They're continuing to do them remotely, and some are even expanding them. So if anybody is interested in connecting with a NAMI support group that meets now is meeting remotely, which actually opens it up, you know, beyond the just the geographic boundaries of living in a particular town or county, the same number, call us or info@namiiowa.org, and we can try to connect you with one of those virtual support groups.
We have just a couple of minutes left before we go to the news break here. Let's talk about some of the tips that maybe we can put into action in our own lives, because even people who don't have mental illnesses are dealing with a lot of anxiety right now. So, Don, maybe I'll let you get started here. What are some ideas that you have for people who to use in their own lives to try to reduce that anxiety level?
Okay, some do's and some don'ts. Do, focus on the present. Don't be thinking about all the things that could happen in the future. We have whatever resources we need to cope when we just stay living in the present. So focus on what needs to be done today. Focus on what might be enjoyable to do today. If you can't do things you would ordinarily do, see if you could find something else to distract yourself with, something enjoyable. Try to establish a routine. It's going to be a different routine than you usually have, but establish a routine so that you have some familiar things to look forward to. For example, instead of going out to a rec center to work out, maybe try working out at home. Don't watch TV all the time. Don't watch all the news. That just will make people more anxious. There's nothing we can do about it. So just look at something else. Watch old movies. You know, talk to friends. Read a book. Something avoiding, you know, just the overwhelming information that comes about all the bad stuff.
Right. You need to get the useful information that you need. But right now we can just overload and think a lot of dark thoughts.
And then one thing from psychological research, one of the things we often have been told is don't touch your face. Unfortunately, we do that all the time. So a way not to touch your face is just to write it down. Every time you touch your face, write it down. You'll become much more aware of how often you're doing it. And that is a scientifically proven way to reduce touching your face, is to write it down every time you do it.
That's a great tip. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more tips and more conversation about mental health challenges during this time of crisis. With me, Don Damsteig. He is a psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids. Lindsay Irvine, Director of Senior Life Solutions of Regional Health Services of Howard County. And Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, in for Ben Kiefer today. As COVID-19 has traveled around the world, that has sparked a lot of fear, a lot of reasonable fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of loneliness as people are social distancing and staying home, staying apart from loved ones and friends. This can be particularly difficult for those who have mental health challenges. It can also spark new mental health challenges. And we're talking about that this hour. We'd love to hear from you. How are you coping right now? What are some of the things that you're doing that help to keep you calm and help you get through your days? What are some of the challenges you've encountered? You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa, Don Damsteig, psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids, Lindsay Irvine, Director of Senior Life Solutions of Regional Health Services of Howard County in Cresco. And Don, just before the break, we were talking about some of your tips for how to deal with anxiety during this unusual time. You gave us a couple of do's and a couple of don'ts. Is there anything else you want to make sure we talk about?
Well, I think mostly to not focus all the time on what's going on around you, especially about the COVID-19. As people have said, it is unknown. We don't know how long it's going to last or how bad it's going to be. But to focus on the worst-case scenario is going to make coping in the present much more difficult. So just kind of focus away from that. Focus on what you can control. Focus on what needs to be done today. Try to do something that will be enjoyable every day, and trust that you know, the future is going to take care of itself and that we don't have to always be worrying about it.
Peggy, what would you like to add as far as coping strategies for people during a time like this?
Well, I think that's great advice. I would add to practice self-care and whatever that is for you. But it's important to try to continue to eat well, to exercise, and to get enough sleep. And then, you know, paying attention to our, whether it's meditation, our spiritual and emotional life, meditation, prayer, whatever practice we have that helps us to maintain balance and calm as much as possible in the midst of all this. I think the advice to not over-subscribe to cable news is good and very important. I was sharing with a friend that I've tried to do that, and I've been pretty successful, but on Monday, for some reason, I slipped up and watched too much cable news. And I'll tell you, by the end of the day, I could really tell. I didn't feel well. I just was really down. A feeling of some despair and hopelessness. And it taught me a valuable lesson, which is, you know, it's fine to limit yourself to a certain amount to maybe feel like you're just keeping up if you feel that need. But don't watch it all day long. It's going to have negative effects. And the same is true for social media. Try to find ways to make that a positive force in your life. So, you know, I know a lot of people on Facebook now are posing things like, tell me one thing I don't know about you. You know, finding ways to interact and get closer to people who maybe you don't know as well, or even people who are family members and you say, I don't ever have enough time to connect with them the way I want. Well, this is your opportunity. Doing things like cleaning out closets or baking or painting or, you know, doing things around the house that are both useful and productive, I think can be a good way to distract yourself and to feel like, well, you know, I'm accomplishing something.
What about managing the times that you're consuming news? This is something we've talked about here in the office, and I've seen many people on my social media feed talk about how they're having a difficult time sleeping. I know that COVID-19 has definitely entered my dreams at night, and some of us have that habit of right before we go to sleep, we see what's the latest, or the minute that we wake up in the morning, we think, what have we missed overnight? Do you have some advice on maybe trying to take a beat or give yourself some space between when you're trying to get sleep?
Charity, I'll tell you that I have now instituted a strict 1 hour limit for myself. I have a 1 hour a day that I'm going to allow myself to check in and see what's happening. And then just turn it off. So everybody probably has their own limits and they know what is okay for them, but maybe there's some experimenting, but, you know, it's easy to go down that rabbit hole, but, it's not going to help you. It's probably going to hurt your, emotional and psychological health.
Well, and Lindsay, you gave us a few tips earlier in thinking about some of the elder people in our society, but anything you want to make sure to add?
There were just a couple other things that we were thinking of. Practicing daily gratitude, you know, thinking of the things that you are thankful for, maybe writing them down or just saying three every day, focusing on the positives or things that you are thankful for. You know, we also tell our patients a lot of times to just even go outside for a walk or walk to the end of your sidewalk or walk to the end of your driveway or go for a drive if you can, because getting out of the house too can help, you know, and or being in the sunlight if that's possible.
We'd like a little bit of sunshine in Iowa.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And just getting out of your house too is good for your emotional and mental health. That helps as well. And then, you know, like she kind of said, practicing things such as painting, things like that. I know a lot of people, we have a couple of patients that are taking part in making surgical masks to help out the different hospitals, and help out in that way, which helps their emotional and mental health and then helps other people as well in the time that they're spending doing that. So that would be the only other couple of things we're adding.
You are welcome to join our conversation. Let us know how you've been coping, what things are working, what things are not working for you. What is keeping you up at night? You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa, Don Damstieg, Psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids, and Lindsay Irvine, Director of Senior Life Solutions of Regional Health Services of Howard County. And I want to go to the phones. Jenny Null is on the line with us from Tanager Place. And Jenny, thank you so much for giving us a call today. I really appreciate it. Tanager Place, for people who are not familiar with it, serves the mental health needs of children and young people. Jenny, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, and tell me some of the greatest concerns you have right now for children and young people at this time. We talk about feeling out of control as adults, but of course, kids genuinely don't have control over their own lives. And during a pandemic, that can feel even bigger. Tell me what you're worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. So as an agency, we do serve children and adolescents and the whole family and work with a lot of parents as well. And so during this time, there's whole family stress. So not only are parents feeling multiple stressors professionally, if they've been laid off from their employment, worried about finances, worried about just meeting basic needs, a lot of times that stress can flow through the family as well. Parents not being as present with children just because of their own stressors. But also for children, this is a huge upset in routine. And what we know is that children definitely function best when they have predictability, when they have structure, when they have routine, and when they feel safe. So all of those things can definitely cause an impact on a child's well-being and just the whole family well-being also.
There is so much information out there. And as a parent in the past, it's sort of been my policy to make sure my kids know what's going on. I, you know, talk to them in gentle ways about some of the uglier things out there. But with this pandemic, I am just deluged in news. And for a while, I was passing on, you know, the new things that I learned until my 14-year-old told me to stop. She said it was too much. So in thinking about how we talk to our kids about what's going on, what advice do you have for parents?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, one of the biggest things that I would recommend for parents is to be honest, but also be mindful of the kid's age. So we definitely want to share information that's true and factual, but share enough that helps them understand what's going on, but doesn't provide additional worry or stress. So an example of that can be providing some education on what the virus is or what people who have contracted it, what sickness they're experiencing, how it's impacted our daily life. You know, that's the reason that school's canceled. That's the reason we can't all go to the park or go to the grocery store together. But trying to avoid some of the unknown pieces of the news. So as adults, when we watch the news, we hear all sorts of things about, is shelter in place going to happen, or is this next proclamation going to pass, or what will it mean if the hospitals are overloaded? Those are all unknown pieces. And so sharing those to children oftentimes can just increase their stress because those are things that are unknown to adults. We don't have any control over those pieces at this time. And so it's just kind of communicating that lack of control even to the children. And so they really look to parents to kind of have that steady perception and provide the consistency and stability that kids need.
Now, of course, kids of different ages also have different reactions. With a teenager, you can, you know, have 10 different reactions in any given day. And some of those might be, hey, I'm thrilled that I'm out of school. And then 10 minutes later, it can be deeply missing the opportunity to be in school. What is your advice if you have teenagers at home during this time for helping them cope and understanding their feelings?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always a big encourager of open communication. So having some regular times throughout the day that you guys are just spending face-to-face time together, talking about anything under the sun. So whether it's talking about current news, talking about any questions that they might have had, talking about any feelings that they're currently experiencing, or what do you want to do today? You know, what are some things that might be different than yesterday? Can you work towards completing something new? You know, sometimes it's really about finding some activities that can take multiple days in a row, finding things that spark their interest and doing more research on them, for example, that just provides a different focus than the current pandemic.
Now, one of the reasons we asked you to give us a call today is that at Tanager Place, you are actually not just engaging in teletherapy services, but you are expanding your teletherapy services to try to reach more people who might be having trouble at this time. Tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you know, Tanager Place is a nonprofit organization, and we serve children and families and recently have even included young adults up to age 25, as we have a couple partnerships with local colleges and universities. But at this time, because we recognize that there really is such a higher need and that access to care is more limited and unknown, we really want to be able to use our foundation here at Tanager Place to serve any community member that's in need of mental health services through short-term teletherapy services. So anybody who's interested in those services of any age, whether you're a current Tanager client or past or never been before, even if you're an adult without children being served by us, we're happy to connect with you. We're happy to offer new services during this time to connect you with one of our therapists that can provide short-term therapy.
So people can get in touch with you. They can look up Tanager Place online. You've got therapy referral at tanagerplace.org. And, of course, they can find your contact information online. Before I let you go, Jenny, a lot of parents are not just dealing with their own fears and dealing with kids at home and their fears, but also trying to take on homeschooling at the same time, you know, making sure that their kids are getting some sort of enrichment activities. Do you have advice for parents about that? Because I think a lot of parents are struggling. A lot of kids are frustrated as well already. And we really just started this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the idea of homeschooling is one of those giant stressors that no parent ever thinks that they'll be in that position of. So the first thing that I would just say is give yourself some grace and take it easy on yourself. A lot of teachers have responded to this in a fabulous way. I know even for my kiddos at home, I'm receiving kind of some daily emails with ideas of how to engage them in some easy learning activities. A lot of other schools are working with their teachers to send out packets or send out some assignments during this time to just keep kids on track to be able to pick up when school resumes again. So I would recommend kind of keeping with what the schools or teachers are sending out to you. If you want to do additional pieces, make it something fun and interactive. Don't feel as though you have to become a teacher overnight, but just being with your child and engaging in new opportunities and new activities and being creative and exploring together is going to provide a lot of teaching experiences.
All right,
and learning experiences.
Jenny, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Yeah, no problem. And again, the number that people can call to reach us at if they're interested in services is 319-286-4545.
All right. 319-286-4545. Jenny Null is the outpatient clinic manager and a therapist at Tanager Place. We're talking about mental health challenges during this difficult time. With me, Peggy Huppert, executive director of NAMI Iowa, Don Damstig, psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids, and Lindsay Irvine, Director of Senior Life Solutions of Regional Health Services in Howard County. And we have just a few minutes left. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to share how you're coping during this pandemic, some of the mental health challenges you've encountered. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We have this from Jim. He says, our family is in three locations scattered across the state. Last night, we used WhatsApp to connect and play charades and Pictionary. Tonight, several will play a game of Risk on actual game boards in their own homes. So they'll bring out the boards and coordinate their game over space. Lindsay, this is a time when, you know, a lot of us are feeling isolated. Older people are perhaps feeling more isolated than others. What advice do you have for those of us who don't fall into that category to make sure that we're checking in on the older people in our lives?
Sure. So you're asking who people that don't have people to call in or call in and check on them?
Well, I'm asking, okay, if I'm concerned about my parents, what should I be doing? What are some creative ideas?
Sure. Well, I've seen, I'm on Facebook, and so I always see different ideas on there. I've seen cute things where people have played, or, you know, maybe if their parents had a nursing home or depending on the age, where they've gone and played tic-tac-toe through the window. They make a board out of tape and they put it on the window and they can play tic-tac-toe. You're not having that, you know, interaction face-to-face, but there's something between you, a barrier. So if one of where you were ill, you wouldn't have to spread that.
Right. And a lot of places have said that they cannot have visitors during this time because of the concerns about nursing homes, et cetera.
Right. So I've seen it where they stand outside their window. They're actually outside of the facility. And so they're standing in the window doing that. Or I've seen even people sending cards. I know I have a 4-year-old little girl, and one of her activities for at home was to make a card for somebody and writing it on the card and sending it to somebody, sending people your loved one cards, or, you know, obviously just checking in on them to make sure they have their medications, they have groceries, dropping something off at their door if they needed something from the grocery store. And same with medications as well.
I have a friend who sent me some suggestions for there are games that suggest conversational questions. And so she and her family members pulled out a lot of conversational questions because we don't have much new to talk about during these times.
Right.
If we're checking in daily or even more than that, there aren't going to be new things to say. So she and her family had gotten really creative with coming up with conversation topics. I want to get back to the phones. Logan is on the line in Waterloo. Hi, Logan.
Hi there.
Hi, what are you doing to cope?
Well, one of the things is I'm, you know, enjoying my time with my animals, but I also am, I've just started for the first time using the video chat features of Snapchat and Facebook, and I'm talking to my family and a lot more. I have to admit, even more than maybe I was doing before all of this.
So, well, that's great. Are you living alone, Logan, or do you have people with you?
I have a fiance, and so I still see him every day. But my family is all spread out across Iowa, from Dubuque to Dayton, and it's nice to be able to see their faces and talk to them during, you know, a trying time of uncertainty.
Absolutely.
And there's all these fun filters that you can use. So if you run out of conversation topics, you can always make them laugh with a funny filter.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thanks a lot, Logan. Roger on the line in Dubuque. Roger, quickly, tell us your experience.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I lost our dog about 9 years ago. Didn't think we'd ever be able to love another one. Yeah. There's shelters packed with dogs and cats in the state. And if you're feeling lonely, I know that the dog we adopted last year, he's brought more joy to us than we could ever even begin to think about. And cats make great pets, too. They're not quite as interactive, but they are a lot of fun, and they're very cheap dates.
All right, so bring somebody new to love into your life. I've actually seen a number of people adopt new pets in the last few days. We have run out of time today, but Peggy Huppert, thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Peggy Huppert, Executive Director of NAMI Iowa. The NAMI Iowa helpline is 515-254-0417. Don Damsteig, thank you.
Thank you.
Don Damsteig.
I just wanted to say, control what you can control and just ignore what you can't control.
All right. Don Damsteig, psychologist at Family Psychology Associates in Cedar Rapids. And Lindsay Irvine, thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add from that first caller, we do have a Senior Life Solutions in Perry, Iowa.
Lindsay, unfortunately, we are entirely out of time, but look to Perry.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. This is River to River on Iowa Public Radio.